Hey everyone, it's Beth McCord, your Enneagram coach, and this is Your Enneagram Coach, the podcast. And we're here to help you to understand yourself with astonishing clarity so that you can break free from self-condemnation, fear, and shame by knowing and experiencing the unconditional love, forgiveness, and freedom in Christ. Well, if you weren't listening to the last podcast, you definitely are going to need to go back to that one. Why? Well, we are going through the hit show Ted Lasso, and we're looking at the characters Ted Lasso and his therapist, Dr. Sharon Fieldstone. Now, Ted is a fun-loving type 7 who, when he's not doing well, is super hyperactive, deflecting, spinning negative to fun, really trying everything possible to not look at the negative in life and only be in the positive. But then Dr. Sharon is a type 1, the principled reformer. And she finds that it's her responsibility and her duty to be principled and professional and to make sure that she helps her clients, Ted being one of them, to look into their inner world and to heal and grow, but to do it in a very sober, appropriate manner, which Ted doesn't really follow, does he? So the two of them, their dynamics, their natural way of being when they're not progressing towards growth actually clashes together. Now, this is true for any two Enneagram types. When any two Enneagram types are not at their healthiest, they're going to clash, even two types that are the same. And people ask me all the time, okay, well, Beth, who are the best two types relationally together? Well, and I always tell them it's the two types that are the healthiest. And I'm absolutely serious by that. You can have two eights that are phenomenal together when they're healthy and two eights that are, you know, unhealthy and destructive. But the same is true for two nines. When they are healthy, man, are they amazing. But when they are unhealthy, they are literally catatonic and they can't even figure out the next thing to do because they're both trying to people please each other. But this goes with any relationship dynamic. We're unfolding for you right before your eyes clips of a type 7 Ted Lasso and a type 1 Dr. Sharon. And as they go from less health to more health. So the last episode, we really showed you when they were less healthy and just beginning to kind of get into a more healthy growth mindset for both of them. And how they can meet each other halfway. Now, they were just at the beginning parts of that, which was really fun to watch unfold. But in these next four clips I'm going to show you, we're going to actually see them grow even more. But don't forget, growth isn't just taking steps forward. It's usually a few steps forwards and maybe a few steps back or a step back. Or, you know, it's ebbs and flows all the time. We wish it just only went forward, but that's just not how life is. And we're going to watch that play out with them. But what's so neat about the Enneagram is once you understand what's going on internally and why, you can navigate your internal life a little bit better because you'll know I need to ask for God's help right now because I am veering off my healthiest path. And if I keep going, I'm going to fall into that same common pitfall and get stuck like I do time and time again. That's why the Enneagram is so helpful. We don't have to heap on shame and self-condemnation on ourselves. We can actually go, oh, here I am again. I was not paying attention, just like we're on a road, and we kind of veer off course into the ditch. If you're not paying attention, we need those rumble strips, you know, those things on the side of the highway that alert you, that wake you up, that you are veering off course. And that's what the Enneagram can do for us. It can alert us that we're doing our type's habitual patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving that create negative outcomes. And when we are alert and become aware of it, the next thing is to then steer our life back into the healthier path, the path that was designed for us that actually is the overflow of our heart and blesses not only our own life, but those around us. And that's what we're going to start to see with Ted and Dr. Sharon today.
Hello.
Hi, Bridget. Sorry I'm late.
Come on. You know, the only thing better than a patient being late is one who doesn't turn up at all.
So where did we leave off?
Oh, let's see. I have it in my notes. Oh, yeah. Ted Lasso is driving me fucking crazy.
Right. He refuses to open up. And when he gets anywhere close to being vulnerable, he fires off a zinger, some obscure reference to something very specific to a 40-year-old white man from Middle America.
So he's refusing to be vulnerable, right? Sounds like someone I know.
Stop it. Me and Coach Lasso are nothing alike.
Sharon, you do the same thing. He uses humour to deflect. You use your intelligence.
Please, I do not harness my savantage nature to alienate people and isolate myself.
Okay, I hear that.
So at the beginning of this clip, what you're going to see is Dr. Sharon on the phone with her own therapist. And her own therapist bluntly points out that she and Ted are actually very similar because they both struggle to be vulnerable. They just do it in different ways. Ted deflects with humor and Sharon deflects with her intellect.
I doubt you'll make any headway with Coach Lasso until you let your guard down yourself and meet him halfway.
You're right.
Of course I'm right. So what are you going to do about it?
Now, her therapist encourages Sharon to meet Ted halfway by embracing vulnerability about her own self so that he can connect with her and then he can be vulnerable with her. Now, she's kind of hesitant about going in this direction, but she then reluctantly agrees. However, before Dr. Karen can fully explore this like newfound insight that her therapist gave her, an unfortunate event happens to her. As she is riding her bike to work, which is her favorite thing to do, she actually gets hit by a car, causing a concussion and needing stitches. And when she's at the hospital, she is super frustrated when she sees the person who shows up to take her home. Yep, you got that right, Ted Lasso. And Ted, as you'll see in this clip, is super fun and exciting, witty, playful, all the things that are going to frustrate a type one when they're not at their best. And she is like, I'm perfectly fine to take care of myself, being very principled and grounded, not wanting anything to do with this silly character. But the doctor at the hospital says, no can do, someone has to take you home. That's hospital protocol. So she's stuck with Ted.
Oh, no. Oh, it's worse than I imagined. She can walk again! Woo! It's a miracle! Oh, thank God for science! Hey, Doc. Doc, gonna be okay, Doc?
Yes, her scan seemed fine.
Good.
Well, she does have a concussion, and she's had a couple stitches in her head, so you'll need to rest for a few days, okay? But apart from that, your husband can take you home right now.
Oh, he's not my husband.
Yeah. Ain't no ring on these fingers. No, we're just friends.
Colleagues?
Friendly colleagues.
I don't have a husband.
Yeah, but not in a sad way. You know, she's just fiercely independent.
And I'm perfectly capable of taking myself home.
See what I mean?
I'm sorry, Dr. Fieldstone. Hospital policy states that head trauma patients, they cannot leave unattended.
Ooh, and there ain't no policy like a hospital policy, because a hospital policy don't stop. Let me help you out with that, sweetheart.
Yeah. Well, once they arrive at her home, Ted refuses to go quickly. He becomes a little hyper, his communication style is silly, and he's trying to connect with her. He's trying to see if he can help in some form or fashion.
Thank you for walking me home. I'm good from here.
Well, that's the fifth time you've said that. I'll just set this puppy down and I'll skedaddle. Yeah, there you go. Good spot for it. There you go. So, are you going to get a new bike, or maybe you're going to lay off riding around for a little bit?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
Yeah. Well, I hope you get back on that horse. And by horse, I mean bicycle. Although, how cool would it be if you started riding a horse to work, you know? Everybody starts calling you Dr. Sharon Horsewoman, or you know, becomes your hook.
I really should get some rest.
Hey, 10-4, good buddy. Good colleague.
But she wants nothing to do with it. And so, what she shows is emotional coldness, and she's curt in her responses to him and really pushes him at a distance.
Yeah, all right. No, I'll let you go here. And, hey, you just give me a holler if you need anything, all right? You know, you had quite the scare today.
And my job is teaching people how to overcome exactly what happened to me. I'm fine, thank you. Goodbye, Coach Lasso.
Yeah, all right now, Doc. Take care.
Now, Ted starts to get the point, especially when she says, hey, I'm tired and I need time to heal. And he says, okay. But in one last attempt, Ted says that she can call him whenever she wants because she went through a scary situation. And instead of being thankful and warm, she shows a cold demeanor, judgmental and critical display by telling him that this is her profession to help others through similar situations that she went through and that she will be just fine. Basically, closing the door right behind him. Well, what you'll see in the clip also is that Dr. Sharon later that night really is reflecting on her day. And while she's reflecting, Ted surprises her with a phone call because he wants to check up on her. He says that, you know, it's protocol with concussions that someone check in with you every 20 minutes. But of course, he's not going to do it in the normal way. He has to do it in the fun 7 way, that he's going to change his voice every time he talks to her. And he does it for the first time there, which makes her giggle.
Hello, Coach Lasso.
Hey, Doc. So tonight I'm just going to keep checking in on you every 20 minutes or so. You know, standard concussion protocol. But I'm going to change my voice every time I call you so it stays exciting for you.
Have you been feeling dizzy or nauseous?
Oh, so that's what it sounds like when you laugh.
Now, this giggle unlocks a lightheartedness in Dr. Karen, and it lifts her spirits, even if it was momentarily. Now, the interaction between the type 1, Dr. Sharon, and the type 7, Ted Lasso, is very significant here. We see the potential of growth and healing in their relationship because this is where Dr. Sharon decides to be vulnerable and to open up.
I'm fine, Coach Lasso.
Well, then I'll talk to you in 20 minutes or so, Sling Blade. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ted.
Yes?
I was scared today. Really scared. I love riding my bike. It's my happy place. And after today, I was worried I'll be too scared to enjoy riding ever again.
Well, I would say fear's a lot like underwear.
No, I don't want to discuss it. Don't need a pep talk. Ted, I just wanted to tell you how I was feeling.
Well, I appreciate it. It means a lot.
And I'm glad I did it.
This is where she decides to share with Ted that that morning she was very fearful. Now he tries to twist it and make it fun, and she says, no, Ted, I just wanted to share this with you. And he's respectful and lets her go. But she demonstrates what it means to be vulnerable, to press into the relationship and to share. She sets the stage for what's to come and to help Ted to go into his fear the next time they meet. This is going to be a really strong moment for both of them. Now, the next clip we're going to see is really interesting. The next clip you're going to see, you're going to find yourself with all of the coaches from Richmond getting ready to go out to the pitch, what they call it, or the field for the next soccer game. So they're waiting in the coach's room.
You good, Coach?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just doing some breathing exercises that Doc taught me, that's all.
Hopefully it's not stomach problems again.
Tell me you didn't eat a prawn cocktail.
No, never.
And while they're waiting and the coaches are preparing, Ted takes a big, deep breath. He closes his eyes and he tries to center himself. But this catches the coaches off guard. They've never heard Ted sigh like that, so they think something's got to be wrong. And they press in to ask, are you okay? Thinking maybe he was sick again. But he says, no, I'm just trying to do some breathing exercises that Dr. Sharon told me about. So you start to see that this beautiful type 7 is looking inward. He's trying to calm his inner world down and to practice the things that Dr. Sharon has showed him. This is where you see his connecting types, the type 1 and the type 5 on the Enneagram symbol, really start to come in powerful, helpful ways. The type 5 allows him to look inward, and the type 1 allows him to be present and responsible and to do the right next thing, which is to be fully present and to actually say the truth. And what you're going to see is he's going to tell the coaches the truth of what happened on the field that day with his panic attack, that he didn't have food poisoning. Truth prevails. Those breathing exercises help the 7 to calm down and the 5 to be able to bring to mind what is true and accurate and the 1 to be principled and to speak that truth.
Guys, it's time.
Hey, fellas, hold on a second. I need to tell you all something. When I left the match against Tottenham, it wasn't because, my stomach was bothering me. It was because I had a panic attack. I've been having them from time to time as of late, and I'm working on it. But I just wanted y'all to know the truth. We good? Good.
Oh, yeah.
No, cool, cool.
All right. Okay, all right. All right, let's go get them. Works for me. 1, 2, 3. Butts!
Isn't that beautiful? And isn't that inspiring to watch Ted from where we saw him earlier, from hyperactive and scattered, fleeing from all pain, to grounding himself, being present, being still, and knowing that he can move with truth, that the truth will set him free, and that he can trust others with where he is at in the moment, and that he can trust himself to navigate this moment. Now, this is really hard work because he's facing, again, his greatest fear. But when he does that, when he enters his greatest fear, on the other side is his greatest freedom. Now, these last two intense clips are a huge pivot in his ability to go to hard places. He actually faces some of his greatest fears in these moments, but continues to press in. This next clip, what we are going to see, is very intense, and it triggers Ted at the core, where his greatest wound is from his childhood. Now, see, the scene opens up. What you're going to see is Jamie Tart, Richmond's star player, being mocked and teased by his own father in the team locker room after the game that they just lost to Manchester City.
Mr. Tart, you have a visitor. Says he's your father.
Yeah. I told you, Vic. We only ever be everybody we play. So you pups have no chance.
Don't speak to me like that.
Just made it easier for Manchester City to kick you to the curb. Don't turn your back on me. Oh, yeah. Okay, you can have that one for free. Don't you forget where you came from.
Watch the door.
Oops.
As tensions escalate, Jamie ends up punching his own father in self-defense in front of the entire team. And Coach Beer swiftly intervenes and escorts Jamie's father out of the locker room. But what you see is Jamie completely frozen in a mixture of shame and pain, while the team sits there emotionally stunned by watching the emotional turmoil unfold before them. But it's also in this very moment that you see Roy Kent, a type 8, step in and fill the void of what Jamie's father should do. And he approaches him and compassionately embraces him as the protector he needs. He supports Jamie as he suffers and cries with sorrow and pain. The camera then scans to Ted, whose eyes are welled up with tears. He is visibly disheartened and caught off guard by the heart-wrenching father-son dynamic that he just witnessed. Overwhelmed by his own flood of emotions, Ted abruptly leaves the locker room while Roy is able to take care of Jamie while he's gone. Now outside, you're going to see that Ted reaches out to Dr. Sharon, and he does the best that he can to muster up courage to share with her his absolute greatest pain.
Coach Lesser?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Moms, I am so excited to share with you a huge and wonderful opportunity that we have created for you this summer. It's our Enneagram for Moms cohorts. Yes, a group of moms of your same Enneagram type coming together for a safe place to connect, share, and hear and be validated. Wouldn't that be amazing to be with other moms of your same Enneagram type who see the world through the same lens and truly understand you? It's going to be amazing. But here's the thing. There are only 25 spots per cohort. We have one in the daytime and one in the evening of your type to choose from. But you're going to want to sign up the day it opens. We open registration May 6th to May 13th. Now, these groups will kick off the week of June 10th, and they will go until the week of July 29th. That's 8 weeks together for 90 minutes, sharing, laughing, crying, being together in that safe, intimate place to connect with moms to develop deep, meaningful friendships. And there's so many other things that are going to come with the cohort. I hope that you will join us and learn more when you sign up on May 6th to May 13th at yourenneagramcoach.com/cohorts. I can't wait to see you there.
My father killed himself when I was 16. That happened to me and to my mom.
I'm so sorry, Ted.
And look, I don't know if that's where maybe some of my issues stem from.
No, it definitely is.
Right, don't that make sense?
Do you want to talk about it now?
No. No, not right now. I need to get back inside of the team. I just wanted you to know.
Okay. Thank you for telling me, Ted. Please call if you need me.
I will. I'm sorry. I will.
It's okay. Good night, Ted.
He is able to take that next step of painful growth by revealing what hurts the most. He's aware that he can't reveal all the details in this moment because the team is still back in the locker room, but that he wanted to quickly reveal this to her while it was still so activated in him. And of course, Dr. Sharon is very grateful and thankful for him to open up. And her response is very warm and receptive, genuine and soft, which allows the healing to take place. It's truly remarkable to witness the growth of a relationship between a type 1 and a type 7 in this way, as they each continue to work on themselves, move towards each other halfway, opening themselves up, being vulnerable, and connecting on deeper levels. They are enabling not only themselves to grow and transform, but the other. And as we move forward into the next clip, what we're going to witness is the profound impact of Dr. Sharon's own personal journey of growth has on Ted, because she has let go of the rigidity and the defensiveness and the boundaries and has opened herself up with that warmth and kindness so that she can lay the groundwork for Ted to walk towards her and to express his truest and deepest pain. So what you're going to see in this final clip is you're going to see heroic strides in Ted as he takes really big steps in his own growth journey. Now, he has a long ways to go. That's one thing that we can all trick ourselves like, oh, I done it. Now I get to move on. It is a lifelong process for growth. But in this clip, we see great strides within him. Now, what you're going to see at first is him singing and dancing as he's putting on a dress shirt and a tie to prepare for his boss's father's funeral. But as he attempts to put on his tie, you see his hand starting to tremble, and he knows that a panic attack is starting to happen. Fear is now etched on his face. He is unable to control the flood of fear and pain coursing through his body. Hold her and control her. Better forgive
Good morning, Ted. Okay. Ted, you're okay. Just breathe. Just focus on your 4-7-8 breathing. You can, come on. Just breathe. I'm on my way.
He reaches out to Dr. Sharon over the phone and that he needs help. She guides him each step of the way as she makes her way to his house. And when she arrives, we see his apartment for the first time in disarray. Up till then, he would keep it tidy and clean. But this shows you the representation of the suffering he has been enduring silently for quite some time.
How you feeling, Ted?
I'm better. You know, not great, but better.
Good. Because when someone's not great, that allows me to get in there and do my thing.
Yeah.
May I sit down?
I wish your doctor would, yeah.
She notices all of this, and with warmth and presence, she genuinely engages with Ted with great compassion and care. She asks him how he's feeling with a very supportive tone. Ted admits that he is doing better, but he's not great. And to his surprise, Dr. Sharon says, "Great, I'm glad you're there." Because as a type 7, he's like, "What? I'm not that great and you're happy?" And she's like, "Yeah, because when my clients are better but not great, I can move in and intervene and facilitate deeper healing."
Ted, it's not surprising that you had a panic attack. It's possible that going to this funeral would trigger memories of going to your own father's funeral.
Nope. I didn't go to my dad's funeral.
Okay, why not?
Because he quit. You know, he quit on his family. He quit on himself. And I hated him for that. I think I still hate him for it.
I think you do too, Ted. And that's okay. What happened with your father is a difficult thing for anyone to make sense of, especially his teenage son.
He gets it. He understands. And he shows her he's willing to work on it even more right now with her. So Dr. Sharon sits down and invites Ted to share his story, the story of what happened with his father. And you get to hear the heart-wrenching tale of Ted's father's suicide when he was 16 years old and the great heartache that unfolded for him and the hatred he had for his father for giving up on him and his mom.
Why don't you share with me what happened?
I remember the date because me and a bunch of high school buddies were going to do a marathon of all them Jason movies that night. So I, you know, came home from school as usual and I went up to my room. Bang! I opened up the door and there he was. Screamed, choked, cried. Just ran upstairs, called 911. Went to the fridge, grabbed one of his Coors Lights, drank that. Then I called my mom at work and let her know she needed to come home.
I'm sorry that happened to you, Ted.
Yeah, me too.
And I understand why you're angry with him. He took a lot away from you.
And my mom.
And your mom, yes.
Now, Dr. Sharon is fully attuned to his emotions, acknowledges his feelings, and understands, thanking him for opening up. And she understands why he harbors this great anger and hatred towards his own father. She sits there with him in it. But she also invites him to share what he loved about his dad. Now, initially, he looks at her with hesitance and resistance. And she said, "You shared with me what you hate about your father, but I want to know what you loved about him."
I'm curious about something. What was he like?
He was a good man, you know. Real chatterbox, believe it or not. Probably could have been a little bit better listening box at times.
What did you love about him?
Why?
You told me what you hate about him. I'd love to hear something you remember that made you feel good.
It takes him a little while to fully engage here, but when he does, he recounts a wonderful story about his father and how incredible he was and how his father saved the day for him once on a test.
When I was in fifth or sixth grade, there was this book called Johnny Tremaine, and our homework for like a month was to read this book. At the end of the month, I hadn't read a lick of it. And we had a test, big test, like the next day. And the night before, I was anxious as all heck, and I couldn't sleep. And my dad starts getting after me about that. And I start crying. And he's like, "Whoa, buddy, what's wrong? What's wrong?" And I tell him what's up. And he says, "Hey, don't worry about it. Okay, just go up to your room, lay your head on your pillow, and think about something you're looking forward to." So that's what I did. Next morning, I wake up, and he says, "Hey, you ain't gonna ride your bike to school. I'm gonna drive you." I'm all right. And on the way to school, he talks me through the entire book, like it's a bedtime story or something. Because he stayed up all night, a whole night, reading the whole damn thing. Because he didn't want his little boy stressed out over some stupid, silly test. And I end up getting an A.
In this moment, you see Ted's heart really expand with compassion towards his own father. He's recognizing the challenges that his father was experiencing and the full spectrum of life with all of its pain, sorrow, joy, and love. He recognizes that his dad was suffering, and though he wishes he could go back and let his father know one more time how amazing he was, he understands his father was in pain. Here, you will see a true seven in one clip embrace the true pain and sorrow of greatest pain, but also relish in the joy and the beauty of a relationship he had with the same person he hated for so long.
He was a good dad. And I don't think he knew that. I think he would have known how good he was and stuff. He didn't really care about being good at it. I don't think he would have done it. And I wish I would have told him. I wish I would have told him more. I was just so angry at him. Because he was always gone at work and just out with friends or something like that. And then he was gone. And I knew right then and there that I was never going to let anybody get by me without understanding they might be hurting inside, you know? Life, it's hard. It's real hard.
Thank you, Ted.
I don't know if this is illegal or something, but can I have a hug?
Sure.
It's okay.
Are you going to charge me for this session?
Of course I am.
Okay.
For the house call.
I appreciate your integrity.
You're welcome.
One of my favorite parts about this clip is the ending. The ending beautifully encapsulates the best of the relationships between the type 1 and the type 7. Did you see how Ted, as he's hugging Dr. Sharon, playfully asks, "Are you charging for this session?" Which she says, embodying her integrity and health as a type 1, says yes. And it's a house call. They both laughed, and he says, "Thank you for your integrity." I love that because the one is still a one And the seven is still a seven. God created us to be who he created us to be, not to become someone else, but to be the healthiest version of ourselves, to honor him in our growth, allow him to work in and through us to be more like him. And he will do that work when we are willing to go to those hard places that we fear. And it's important that a lot of times we do these hard self-reflection and growth with another, whether a coach or a therapist, someone who is professionally qualified for whatever your needs are. Because these are so challenging for all of us. Our natural reaction and our type is to go in a very particular way, just like we see with Ted's type 7 and Dr. Sharon's type 1. But we aren't left to that. There's so much more to us, and the Enneagram helps us to see what our healthiest path is and that we can go there. We can be vulnerable. We can be transparent, and we can connect with one another so that real growth can happen. God has put us in community with one another, not so that we force others to be just like us, but that we can encourage them to be the best version of the way God created them. And that's what we're seeing with Ted Lasso and Dr. Sharon. Each of them invite the other to a new level of understanding of themselves. Dr. Sharon encourages Ted to be responsible and to go inward and to deal with his hurt and pain. But Ted invites her to loosen up and to have some fun, that it doesn't have to always be rigid and perfect. The two of them help each other to triumph over setbacks. As we watch the complexities of their types grow, it will help us to embrace our own pain and transformation. Now, we only touched on the type 1, the 7, and I hope someday to do more reflections like this, not just with Ted Lasso, but maybe other shows, so that you can watch a relationship unfold and how beautiful the dance can be when we're dancing together and not stepping on each other's toes, that we're embracing the dance of fun for the type 7, and that there are steps to be done so you don't step on each other's toes as the type 1. Our human experiences are great. God gives us the richness of relationships together. And I hope that by going through this together, it's opened your eyes to love others well, to love them where they are at, with a non-anxious presence, trusting that God is going to help us to see each other for who we really are and where we're at, and that he is the one that helps us to grow. He is the one that helps us to transform. And we get to journey with one another in this process. So I highly encourage that if you have a type 7 or a type 1 in your life, that you pass this along to them. Help them to look at their own life and how these things pop up. But I also invite you that if you have a type 1 and type 7 in your life, to meet them halfway, to love them in the way that they understand so that they can open up and transform in a way that makes sense to them. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed this episode about Ted Lasso and Dr. Sharon and the hit series of Ted Lasso and how we have pulled the type 7 and type 1 apart. Thank you so much for joining us. And remember that the Enneagram reveals your need for Jesus, not your need to work harder, because it is the gospel that transforms us. And if you want to dive in and to grow more, we have certified Enneagram coaches that can guide you. Go to myenneagramcoach.com. That's myenneagramcoach.com to find an excellent Enneagram coach that will walk you through your own healing journey. And if you need a counselor who knows the Enneagram, we also have counselors in that directory that you can find if you need an actual counselor. So go check it out, get your own healing, grow and transform into who God created you to be. Thanks for joining me on this special series of Your Enneagram Coach, the podcast.